SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
2 hours you've all been waiting for is finally here.
I had to jump in, man. The streets are hot. I had to jump in here quick.
I mean, the streets are so hot.
Moneyline with the dynamic duo of Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh.
But you usually have some plans when you're rocking solo.
Really, dude? Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah, dude.
All right, let me just start with this. How good is the NBA then right now? How good is the NBA play postseason right now?
That's so fun.
Is it not delivering? Is it not delivering every night?
And I woke up again in the middle of the night to see that score and go, oh my goodness. And then when I saw the highlights of how it ended, wow, exactly.
Insanity. I mean, the fact that none of them covered.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Is that breaking?
Right here on a Friday afternoon, no better place to be than right here and right now. And my goodness, you are right. You might have to check the check marks right now. This is going to send shockwaves because if a new Twitter, this doesn't make sense. DeAndre Hopkins has been traded.
DeAndre Hopkins
has signed a new contract. DeAndre Hopkins was told, get the bleepity bleep out of here. You have been released. The Cardinals have just released DeAndre Hopkins. Let the floodgates begin today. It's Moneyline. This is what happened. They waited for the show. They waited for it.
Donnie, now who's in charge? Me, you, or Christian? Which one of us sent the text to Shefty saying, hey, man, go ahead and bust that news out. We're ready to go here on an episode of Moneyline.
Now, this is great, too, because this is going to feed into a lot. Like, we were going to get into, you know, hey, maybe the Charles Schwab and, you know, some blockheads out there. But forget about that. We are going right to the NFL. My goodness here. I don't know what this means for the Arizona Cardinals at this point. But at the same time, where do we go from here? Where is he going? He's a free agent right now that can sign with any team. My goodness.
Yeah. Stunning move, obviously, because the notion was they were going to trade him and they had suitors. And then it was like, ah, you know, we're just going to hold on to him. Like, no, you know, and Hopkins and all of a sudden did the classic. Well, come on. I mean, when did I ever say I really wanted to leave? Which is just like, all right, dude. But I don't understand this outcome here, right? Like, there's no way that their only option was nothing. I refuse to believe that they couldn't have got any draft pick there. Like, you could say, like, oh, come on, what difference would a seventh rounder make? Well, you either have one or you don't here. This is no doubt a stunning move.
It is. And what this actually means is DeAndre Hopkins was a problem. The minute they changed coaches, the minute that offseason began, we were led to believe, like, because every time you saw DeAndre Hopkins do an interview, what were they doing? Like, asking, hey, where do you want to play? You know, it'd be nice to play. I remember the one, it was like a video where he wasn't really giving an answer, but he had to give like a facial expression of like where he wanted to go. It's just really odd when, like, yeah, you're on a team with a big contract and it's like, you know, I could be playing elsewhere at this point. It doesn't surprise me. But before we even look at the Arizona Cardinals, should we be firing on the Ravens right now? Is that what we should be doing right now at this moment? Like, because we heard all the chatter in the offseason. That was supposedly the guy that was going to play with Lamar. Now, Odell Beckham Jr., a draft pick later, and away you go. But he's a free agent. This could be one of the, and I bring up Howie Roseman, not because he's coming to the Philadelphia Eagles. This is where a GM gets real creative and is like, look, man, we'll bring you in. Nice price here. 1 year, $8 million. Come in, let's fit you in. If it works, we are going to break open the boxes for you and the books. Yeah. If not, you'll probably have a decent season and be able to make something elsewhere. This doesn't, what I'm saying, Kevin, it doesn't have the feeling of, okay, I'm going to sit this out and then go play for the Houston Texans because I'll go back there and they're going to give me big money, but we're going to stink. This has the feeling of, I'm going to a winner and then I'll figure the rest out later.
Right. Again, so I understand everything that you just said there, but I'm really struggling to wrap my head around nothing being given to Arizona. Where are you saying that what Hopkins wasn't going to agree to any trade? Like, yes, he was gonna, because he had a full no trade clause, but it was voided, Donnie. So I'm not What do you mean? So when you say headache, you're basically saying Arizona looked at their options as they could bring him back or they could not, so they decided to not?
Like, they're starting a new regime in Arizona. The one thing a coach can have is malcontents in the office. I'm not even saying he's at fault.
I understand.
I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to get this going here and start this program. Now, around the league, people might have feelers out there through agents. Like, I'm not giving you a third round pick. You're probably going to end up getting rid of this guy. How about a fifth? How about a sixth? And then you say, okay, then you have to pick up some salary to make it happen. They probably thought they were better off just cutting him loose and saying, I don't think we're going to be that good next year anyway. What's the difference here? And is it going to get a sixth-round pick and have to work out places to send this guy? You know what? Just good luck to the future. We'll make it on our own now at this point here.
I don't know. I understand the premise of them not wanting him on the team. I think that makes plenty of sense. I don't understand how the conclusion was we would get nothing back when there were rumored suitors, right? Like, we know that they could have got something in return. That's where I am still right now as we are processing this in real time here, struggling to understand this outcome. Him not being on Arizona, I get it. Him being out of Arizona as a release is the stunner here.
I'm telling you where I actually, I mean, he's not coming to my Philadelphia Eagles because it wouldn't make sense. But my goodness, he goes to Buffalo. I mean, that's popping. That's throw the ball 70 yards downfield straight up in the air like a punt and watch him go get it repeatedly. I might be all about that at this point. There are a couple spots from Dan Orlovsky here. Let's talk about it. Hopkins, what? Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday afternoon, information always popping on Moneyline. No surprise today, right at 1 o'clock. We get a bomb dropped on us here. DeAndre Hopkins released from the Arizona Cardinals. Donnie, Kevin here, and we got you for the next 2 hours to have some fun with this. And here's what I'm thinking on my timelines coming out. The move by the Cardinals, three choices, Kevin. Smart, sensible, or just fashionable here? Which one is it?
I think it's fashionable. Yeah. I love your heads. You know what? Please keep that going. Always give you those three options. Mm-hmm. This is a fashionable move as they are changing the look of their football team. And the fashion sense that they are going for is worst team in the NFL.
Yeah,
can I spin forward in a ridiculous way? Do you mind if I do something really stupid and annoying?
Go ahead.
There's a very real chance that the Cardinals end up with the first overall pick and the second overall pick thanks to having the Texans.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. Ready? So, Donnie, the odds actually, like based on win totals and things like that, say that is what's going to happen. Everybody's now like, oh my goodness, like the Cardinals are going to obviously draft Marvin Harrison Jr., right? The thing is, if you're the Cardinals and you have one and two, let's just say even if they wanted to take a quarterback, right? Like, they actually could blow things up and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. first, because it's not like they can get they can't get jumped, Donnie, for the second pick. Like, could you imagine if Caleb Williams' first overall bets all lose because the Cardinals have the first two picks and they just decide to go with the wide receiver first?
Yeah, because the funny part would have been because now the draft picks are actually slotted, and they're like, you know, we'll just take the other guy first. We'll take him second and tell the agent, well, you went second. You didn't go number one overall as a quarterback, so you can't hold us hostage. That would be hilarious. But you're right. It is very funny where it's like, hey, you know what? He's the best player in the draft, and we're just going to screw it up and be like, hey, he went number two. Why? Just because the Cardinals wanted to be funny and thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, again, genuine, but like
crazy.
I don't know. Does it save a dollar here or there, DRS? Where it's like, oh, we took the quarterback with the second slot, so it's not as much as if we took him with the first slot. Like that's plausible, maybe.
I get, which would be hilarious. Like you're really trying to skimp pennies on your quarterback. Like, hey, you're a franchise guy. You're the best guy in the draft. We took you number two because that fifth year option is going to be a little bit less, and we know we're going to take it on you because you're going to be good. Meanwhile, the number one overall pick. Hey. the end of 4 years, you're going to say, well, you know what? This wide receiver was good, but he didn't work out, so we're going to pay you. That would be devious at the point. That would be the same thing like Chris Bryant and the Cubs. My goodness. Chicago Cardinals back in the day. Chicago Cubs. Like, hey, by the way, you're the best player on this team. Got to keep you down 3 weeks because we don't want to pay you anymore next year. Like, oh, thanks. I'll remember that. And he did bounce at that point. You're not going to do that to a quarterback, yeah. But it's funny you said that. Like, hey, some sort of quirk in the contract. We drafted him number two overall, which number one overall means like that's like for the rest of your life. That's like Heisman Trophy, Super Bowl, and where did you get drafted? Oh, number one overall. Like, that's huge. Like, oh, I went number two. Why? Just because of some scheduling quirk in my contract.
Yeah, like it would be ridiculous. Now, because just some people are like, oh, wow, the Cardinals are going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. And it's one of the
– oh, my goodness.
Because, like, Kyler – we don't have to get into the Kyler stuff. I'm now, like, spinning so far along Arizona. But, like, they are going to be so bad, Don. They're going to be so bad, Arizona.
Now here's what – the whole evolution of Twitter and social media has unbelievable stuff. Like, we can find out right away about DeAndre Hopkins, and now you see us talking about it live the minute it happens. And, of course, we beat ESPN by, like, 15 minutes as they're just getting to it right now live on the air. I think they had to bump good old Kendrick Perkins off the air and just go to the, you know – standard crew inside. But having said that, Kevin, I look right now, like, Matthew Berry is like, hey, by the way, you know, they forgot the trade here. Let's look at Rondell Moore's options and Colt McCoy, Marquise Brown. No, we're not looking at that. We're looking where Arizona is going to move on from because DeAndre Hopkins is going to land with a good football team. Now, is he a balance of power guy? Like, are you telling me right now the Buffalo Bills get DeAndre Hopkins? I'm all fired up. I'm betting them right now to win the Super Bowl. If he goes to the Eagles, we just laugh and be like, oh, there's no salary cap. Does he go to the Dallas Cowboys? Does he go, which I honestly think the best fit, I would love it because I'm all ravened up already. He goes to the Ravens. Like, I'm going to be firing away on the Ravens today. Like, the minute that happens, I'm all in. Win the division, win the AFC, win the Super Bowl at that point.
I mean, it would be magical if this team really does all of a sudden, you know, go from just the most disgraceful wide receiver room in football to, like, wait a minute.
Really good
one. That's why.
Yes.
Yeah, and it would be funny because you know a lot of people are like, oh, come on, Odell Hopkins, what year is it, 2013? Like, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
you get to
these guys are washed type of thing. But no matter what, it would be such an upgrade here. People keep mentioning Buffalo, but it does seem like financially that would be difficult for Buffalo to swing. So I think that's going to be a big question here. You know, what is Hopkins looking for contract-wise? And look, everybody wants to compete at a high level, but the notion was if he was traded, he was going to want to renegotiate a deal, as most do and most should. Because, look, in the NFL, we know that those are fleeting careers, and I still think Hopkins could get himself a pretty considerable deal if he wants one here. I think it's really tough to say where he's going to land. Maybe Alf Silly and he's just basically only thinking about going to the, you know, four, you know, best teams in football here. But I just want to, you know, just take the Giants, for example. If the Giants were able to spend big Hopkins, does that change his outlook on what he wants to do?
Well, I mean, if he wants to make money and that's all, he would go to the Giants because there's less than one touchdown pass per game on the table for those wide receivers. So I don't know if he would like that at this point, but yeah. If he wants to go win, there's a lot of good spots. And when I said, like, not really taking a discount because we don't actually know what he wants or who could he possibly get, you figure now that he's an outright free agent, he's going to be able to pick and choose where he wants to go. But I have a feeling, and it actually comes at a bad time for DeAndre Hopkins. You want to get released like the minute the season is over, when everybody's setting their budgets for the season. Like, everybody's already budgeted, spent, re-upped guys, and they're ready to go in the training camp, and a superstar drops in. Now, granted, there are a lot of teams out there with salary cap situations, but most teams already have their 2023 factored in. This is like one of those, like, ooh, how can we fit it in and redo some things? But it also takes two to tango. Just because the Seattle Seahawks are like, hey, we want DeAndre Hopkins, doesn't mean he wants to go to Seattle or the 49ers or the Eagles or the Buffalo Bills. He just might feel comfortable going somewhere, but we're pointing out where what you think he would do, because playing on a bad Cardinals team, now having the ability to make good money and go to a dominant team, I mean, that's what everybody's talking about, right? Even Warren Sharp here. You know, Allen, Hurts, Mahomes, Jackson, and Hurts. Now, he goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm just going to get upset by that. You know what I mean? Like, Big Red will always make room for something like that to make it happen.
Of course.
And again, we don't know where he technically is. Injured last year a little bit. It's not the same. You're not getting the same young wide receiver in Houston that just went up and bully-balled everybody. He's still a quality wide receiver, and maybe he gets reinvigorated with a new team.
No, I think the thing with the Chiefs, so let me not be silly, right? If he goes to the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously it's like danger, 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 because it's Mahomes, it's Hopkins, it's Reed. But he does not fit the profile of a Kansas City Chief wide receiver, right? Wouldn't you agree? That's not what he does, though. He's not a speed separate kind of a guy, right? Like he's the Allen Robinson
better mold. Like, you know what? It's one on one. Just throw the ball. Just throw it over here one on one. I'll make that play. It's mine. Yeah,
and that's not kind of the way the Chiefs operate there. But let's not lose sight of this, right? So if you look at that list of teams that they mentioned, the Eagles were the only team in the NFC. So let's remove them for a second. If the Chiefs, if your option is you have him, or the Ravens, the Chargers, and the Bills have him, you take him, no matter what. Even if you're not going to maximize him, you don't need Josh Allen getting another weapon, Justin Herbert getting another weapon there. And do not lose sight of that. That is a big part of what these upcoming Hopkins sweepstakes here. Just getting him on your team is better than the other teams you're competing against getting him.
Yeah, no, it's a good point that you bring up here, and it's interesting to see where he's going to go. I'm pretty sure by the end of the day, he's not going to have a team, but this is what I like. Yeah. The sleuths, the beat writers, the Adam Schefters of the world. You're going to hear probably a little bit later on today, maybe over the weekend, some leaks on where he would like to wind up, even though he's been putting that out on podcasts. But if you are now a front office that's interested in DeAndre Hopkins, man, he just ruined your holiday weekend. You got to get the office on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, trying to get this guy. I mean, that's just the worst time to be released. We'll be right back here. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We got a lot of NFL that we can talk to, and we certainly will. Keep in mind, we got 2 hours today to flow all the way through. But if you're just tuning in now, the Cardinals released DeAndre Hopkins. We'll find out sooner maybe than later where he's going. Because also keep in mind, this isn't one of those Aaron Rodgers deals. Like, hey, by the way, season ended January 9th. I have 6 months to pick my team. Teams are in OTAs. Teams are structuring their ways to, like, you know, work in and out and who's going to play where and depth charts. So I'll ask you this before we move on for the time being. When does this happen? Is this a training camp? It can't be. He's too good to be a training camp add-on. Like, yeah, you know what? I'll wait for somebody to get hurt. Like, no, like he comes in and is a top two wide receiver on your team, if not your best wide receiver, as soon as he signs.
No, I totally agree with you. The only reason that this takes long is if Hopkins has not been able to have any conversation with other teams. You know what I mean? Like, and you would imagine that's not the case, because you're usually good at sifting through this. Don't you think that he kind of already has an idea of who's interested and who's not on him?
Yes.
So he should already know what's out there.
This is a guy that told his agent a while ago, I'm not happy here. You know, I'll sort of play a good soldier without trying to be disrespectful. But every time you saw DeAndre Hopkins, he basically had a foot out the door, which means your agent is working behind the scenes going, you know what, on trades. I would be interested, like, who was the trades that they had worked out? Do you know what I mean? Because it said they fell through.
Yeah.
So that means those teams are really going to be hot and heavy on the guy. And we don't know, because they're not going to release that. But again, you're seeing the Dove Kleiman retweet here on the podcast, I Am Athlete. Number one, Josh Allen. Number two, Jalen Hurts. Number three, Patrick Mahomes. Number four, Lamar Jackson. Number five, Justin Herbert. So I guess I didn't watch it. I didn't press play. Obviously, we're live on the show. But I figure he's doing it in that order, who he wants to play with. And he can't go wrong. Like, if he ends up on one of those five teams, he's going to be having fun, man.
No doubt. I mean, you got to – now, again, for Hopkins, what's interesting, though, when you go through that list of teams, right? He's option – look, this is not slander. He's option three in Philadelphia. You go to the Chargers, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, that's very established. Chiefs, now you certainly are, you know, Travis Kelce's always going to be option number one, right? He'd be number two. Buffalo, you'd think Diggs would always be number one. There's a lot of mouths there. The interesting thing about the Ravens, despite the fact that they have added to that room, Hopkins would I think you would put him number one on that Ravens depth chart, wouldn't you? Over yes. Odell and Zay Flowers, the rookie?
And who's the kid out of Minnesota? Who's banging the Bateman?
Bateman, yes.
They got a good room, they get that. You got to get that done.
But my thing is, look, Hopkins is always going to want to be a superstar, and as he should, he still, I think, would be wide receiver one in Baltimore. I would say that would be the case. I think he's still wide receiver one in Baltimore. I don't even think you'd make an argument he's wide receiver, or I should say target one, because obviously Kelsey's a tight end. You would, I guess, Mark Andrews. Am I putting him past Mark Andrews too quickly? Would Mark Andrews still be top dog in Baltimore, and then this is actually a non-conversation?
Yeah, he would.
I don't know.
There's familiarity
Hopkins
there with Lamar
comes
Jackson.
With
and
such, you know, cachet, though. Right? Not that Andrews doesn't, but Andrews doesn't have Kelsey-level cachet.
It's going to be one to watch because, again, with wide receivers, you always want to start with this. There's something about, like, hey, I just want to win. But I'm telling you, wide receivers are built differently. They need the football. And when they're superstars, they don't enjoy 45 catches, 750 yards, and 3 touchdowns because it was a lot of fun. They played on a good team and everybody ate. I'm telling you, that's not the way it works. It's the same thing with a superstar running back. Tell him he's going to be out there with committee and they're going to ride the hot hand. And he goes, hey, maybe if only 5 carries in this game, that's all you get. They don't like that. Nobody likes that. So you have to keep that in mind. Like you say, okay, let's go to a super team in the Eagles. You think A.J. Brown's going to be like, hey, look, hey, Howie, you want to really start getting on my nerves, do stuff like this. And I'm not even saying that he would be angry, like, out front and say that. But deep down inside, game number one, DeAndre Hopkins catches 2 touchdown passes. A.J. Brown doesn't have anything. All of a sudden, he's asking his agent, he can't play here anymore. So you can't overload superstar wide receivers on one team. Like, a perfect fit would be somewhere he steps in and is like, you know what? We signed this guy because he's the alpha dog. You sign with the Eagles. Yeah. You're not the alpha dog.
Let me say, so in one respect, right, A.J. Brown is a guy where they smashed the Giants in the playoff game, and A.J. Brown's like, I really wish I got the football more, right? And again, he didn't mean it in a, like, in a damaging way, but A.J. Brown's like, look, like, I'm way too good to finish the game with that stat line. Mm-hmm. And he is right in certainly a sense there. I do think, though, wide receivers, it's funny, they do love one another around the league, and mm-hmm. I think they always love the idea of a super team together, like a super team wide receiver room. So I think A.J. Brown is the type of guy to be like, yo, big dog, like, get down here. Like, we got work to do, especially because the Eagles are coming off of not winning the Super Bowl, so it's like this is going to be the piece that puts us over the top. But you talk about an A.J. Brown adjustment, a Devonta Smith adjustment, don't forget that. Donnie, look, think about DeAndre Hopkins' fellow wide receivers. Think about the rooms that he has usually been in throughout his career. Mm-hmm. Hopkins is not used to being a secondary choice. Like, no. He is usually so by far and away the best guy. It's going to be different for him more than anybody he's about to play with, I would really argue.
Like, because you can, your point is very valid. Eagles win 45-17 over the Bears. I'm just using that as an instance. He got 3 targets, 1 catch for 9 yards. Any wide receiver's through it. Does it? They don't care. They just won the football game. They're going like, yeah, we won. And, so I was open a couple times. Like, hold on now. You guys won by like 30. Aren't you feeling good? You know, I mean, I could have, it would have been better if I was, you know, more of a help in this game here. That's the way, because the wide receivers and cornerbacks are alike. They want to be out on the island. They want to be showboating. When they make a big play, they're going to let you know about it. Same thing with defensive end. Defensive end gets his ass kicked 60 plays in a game. See number 61, he gets a sack. He thinks he's King Kong out there dominating the world. That's just, you know what I mean? That's just the way it is. I always love the offensive lineman explain. Like, I just kicked this guy up and down the field, and he got 1 sack, and it's like, oh, man, he's just routing the so-and-so tackle over there on the left side. That's just the way it works. But it's a fun topic to talk about, and there's so many different ways to go. It would be fun to see who is actually pursuing him here, but there are some creative GMs out there that can make it work. And I'll put it this way. We'll get back to this in hour number 2. Does he end up on a really good football team, or does he just go and say, you know what, I got a really good contract from the Atlanta Falcons. Do you see what I mean? Is he going
that'd be
top
stunning.
5, or is he going mid-level because they're going to pay him a little bit more money?
And does he do 1-year deal, I think, is another way to put that. Mm-hmm. Is he willing to go 1 year, a little bit cheaper, mm-hmm. win big? You know, Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Yeah. Juju kind of went, let me reset for a year in Kansas City, won a Super Bowl, and now I get to go be wide receiver 1 on a decent contract in New England, and that's all good. You know, does Hopkins get, you know, go to try and win a Super Bowl, have, because he's not going to have a bad year, especially with the teams we're talking about, right? And look, if there's injuries, because we know injuries always factor in, he immediately rockets up a depth chart there. You would say, Donnie, odds are it's going to be one of those five super teams, or best teams, I should say, that he ends up with. It'd be pretty surprising if it didn't go that way, right?
It'll be interesting because there's a lot of good. Now, the teams are just the ones he's listed here. And sometimes that's a wish list, not a feasible list. But now that he is actually shaking loose, there are going to be teams that are competing that you didn't hear from, like a Denver Broncos now with Sean Payton. He would love to get a veteran, dominant wide receiver in there. There's a lot of things that can happen. Like, what happens if he ends up in Vegas at this point? And go, hey, you know what? Super team right here. Look at that. You know, Renfro in the slot. Yeah. You got, you know, Adams on one side and Hopkins on the other. Like, he can change the fortunes and maybe an outcome of, this team's interesting.
Let me say this. And again, like, I know it'll sound silly because the idea of him wanting to go there would sound non-existent. But if you're the Texans, you don't have your first round pick. You're not tanking. You have a rookie quarterback that you want to play well. If you can outbid everybody on Hopkins, bring back what is a franchise legend. Like, the Texans should be making that call. He might hang up on them, but they should be making that phone call, Donnie.
It's interesting. No, it is. And there's a lot of different ways that this is going to get structured around. I just need to see those tea leaves come out. I need an insider. Like, you know who's on the phone right now with him? Josina Anderson. I need a Josina Anderson tweet in, like, the next 15 minutes. Just got off the phone with DeAndre. He said he's got something cooking. He'll let you know soon. Like, ooh! Like, you know, notifications on, because it's going to be fun, a fun thing to actually watch it play out. I don't think it's going to take too long, because as I said, it's Memorial Day weekend, which means June is next week. July is training camp. So this is not going to be one of those things where you're really, really delaying it. Now, we're going to be coming up here on the break in just a few moments. Boston Celtics, Miami Heat. I know it's not Friday night. It's going to take place Saturday night. It's going to be a big event here. The Miami Heat are getting 3 points right now. So to start this conversation off, where does that line end up game time? Where is it?
Here's the thing. I'm almost tapping out because I really cannot believe that that is the line. But I think based on what we've seen before, gets closer to four than two. That's what we've seen. Gets closer to four than two, I'd say.
Now, let me just do a quick, because I haven't seen this yet this afternoon. I've been waiting on it here.
Oh, that series price.
So it's hold on now. No. Did you see this? What was it this morning? Because I'm having a brain cramp.
I know for a fact that Miami was minus 130. I know for a fact.
Okay, good. Because Miami's minus 150 now. Good. So smart, sensible, and fashionable here. Because it caught me off guard seeing the Celtics. It caught me off guard because the Celtics, that plus 125. By the way, I really think I have to. It's like the Jordan crying face, which lasted for a long time. My God. I really think I have to go on every show. And like, you know, what's that breakdown? I said, look. Here's what it is, point A, point B, point C, and I'll leave it at this. If you're taking the Heat, that's smart, sensible, and fashionable. That's it, man. Like, I think he catches Ben off guard with that. I think he really appreciates that out of nowhere.
I agree.
Donnie Wrightside. He's smart, he's sensible, and he's fashionable, and he's with us now. See that? Boom! We'll be back. Much more to go. Moneyline on a Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday afternoon, it is Moneyline. Get involved. Have some fun. Where do you think DeAndre Hopkins is going? You can always call and let us know and see where to go here. Right? K-Dub, people would let us know here?
No, we want the people to call and let us know. I just got a little alert to the phone on the thank you tweet from the Arizona Cardinals that they sent to Hopkins. It's kind of one of those things where he's, okay, ready? So I don't know if you know where I'm going to go with this. And maybe this is an hour two conversation.
Yes.
Like, Hopkins was probably there for longer than we realize. Now, I do not think there will be any serious, legitimate conversation on them retiring DeAndre Hopkins' number. I think that the idea of that is crazy. But there have been, DRS, some very legitimate conversations in the NBA in recent times that we've not really been able to get into about some numbers being retired, notably Melo by the Knicks, Melo by the Nuggets, and which is a really interesting wrinkle, and then LeBron by the Lakers. So maybe hour two we get into that.
Yeah, we are going to get into that. I'm going to tell you how ridiculous it is for anybody, even Michael Jordan's number being retired. Ridiculous. Babe Ruth, like, I mean, pull that thing down. If I was a Yankee, if I came through the minor league system as a New York Yankee, I would demand number three and be like, I'm not playing for it unless I get it. Like, right, but honestly, if Volpe demanded number three, I think the Yankee fans would give it to him right now. That's how good he is, they think.
They would give Volpe a three
at home and a two on the road, he would get. Yeah,
no. Volpe, right. Let me tell you that. I'll tell you this. The way Yankees fans are, Volpe asked for two, they would say they wouldn't trade him for Ohtani right now. He asked for two. They basically they'd attach a draft pick or something like that. Like whatever would be the equivalent. I'm telling you right now.
My goodness, man. Retiring stuff like that. Okay. Talk about retire. Are the Boston Celtics going to be retired on Saturday night? I would hope so. And I'm at the point right now, I actually don't know what I'm rooting for. And I, you know, because I don't have a dog in the race as if I have money at the end of the rainbow going, come on, Heat, don't blow this. I got a big ticket in my pocket. Or Boston Celtics, hey, I took you down when you're down 3-0 at a big price, and now it's down basically 2-8 pick 'em. I don't have a dog here because I just wanted to see like what the numbers would be here this morning. We got a view of that. But I don't know actually who I'm cheering for at this point. Because to be honest with you, I actually would really like the Celtics and the Denver Nuggets series. It would be fun, moving, star players left and right. We're not grimy and defensive, if that makes sense. I think it would be a better series overall. But for Boston losing, I think it would be great. History could be made with Boston. I actually don't have a dog in the role, a dog in the fight, and I don't know where I'm going. Like, do you have what is your notion? You want to get another, you know, day out of content to talk about it on Tuesday after it finishes up? Like, where are you at with this?
Yeah, I want Miami to kill him. I prefer Miami to beat them into submission, and you got Peyton Pritchard out there in the third quarter. That's how bad things are going there. I mean, you know this. I have, you know, my Heat rooting interest, whatever it might be, but I don't care that I picked the Celtics to win a title, whatever. They've not looked good. I don't think that they've been. I'm just despising the way kind of some of the characterization of this series has gone. And yeah, I want Miami to win. And I also don't agree with the notion, but even though it's been the notion every single time Miami goes into a series, that them in the NBA Finals wouldn't be entertaining. I think it would be incredibly entertaining if they went into the NBA Finals, because every series Miami has been in has rocked.
Now, as you say, it's pretty clear that the NBA does not want the Miami Heat in the finals because they are extending this series on a night-to-night basis because they know that people want to see the Celtics versus the Nuggets, not the Miami Heat. That's the understanding that we have in the NBA. By the way, no Scott Foster talk to pass. I haven't heard Scott Foster's name in like 3 weeks. Not Raffin? Raffin? What is he doing? Yeah. Is he?
I don't know. I think LeBron bloodied his lip and maybe he just can't like make it back out.
Blow the whistle.
I mean, no, he was out there the other night though, so I don't know. Maybe the Scott Foster stuff is just entirely related to like
just Chris
CP3
Paul?
And LeBron. But you're right, it has died down a little bit, the Scott Foster. Well, maybe it's because everybody that thought the NBA was going to rig everything feels really stupid since the Lakers got swept, considering that they were calling for Scott Foster to rig games 2, 3, and 4 in the Western Conference Finals, and he only reffed, I think, one of the games.
Yeah, that because I would have to believe if like Scott Foster reffed games 4 and 5 or 4 or 5 I should say, that we would be hearing about a lot more. Or if he's reffing game 6 or 7, well, that's the best part about it, right? Well, the NBA is definitely rigging it. Scott Foster is going to ref game 7. Well, why don't they just have him ref 4, 5, and 6 then if they're rigging it in one direction? Now everybody rigs it in the NBA as a ref. Is that the point of? Contention we're going to make at that point.
I'm just saying, if the NBA rigs their finals, they are awful at it. Like, there's nobody that's ever been worse at rigging things. If this is kind of the way things have gone, they are truly just terrible at this, Donnie.
Now, there have been people that said that ratings actually go up when LeBron James get knocked out. Any theory behind that?
Yeah, no, just stupidity, nonsense, and people being incredibly wrong. So that's always good. We love
like, when Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs get knocked out, everybody loves it because they get a slug in there instead of them. No, it's not necessarily the case at that point here. So
people. There's Cowboys fatigue. Like the NFL would hate to see him in the suit. Them in the Super
exactly.
Bowl.
Exactly.
You knuckleheads.
Kick them out this point here. Now, Miami Heat Celtics, they'll get it done. And also, you talked about just update the people again. Injury information that you might want to watch out for here on Saturday night. Is it long term? Is it game time? What are we talking about on both sides?
So. I think Gabe Vincent is someone that I would almost expect him to play because Gabe Vincent was listed with full props and everything heading into that game number five. So clearly the notion the books had early was that he would play. And they had to shift that around, though, due to his injury that did cost him out. So you would expect him to be back. That, of course, will impact props more than anything. As we said, the numbers should remain the same, but the impact of Gabe Vincent in props, Kyle Lowry into the starting lineup a little bit more, Caleb Martin, different things of that nature. So keep your eyes on that. But the sneaky one that's going to creep in now is Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon, they said, had actually been playing through an elbow injury for a while in this, and it seemingly got to the point where he couldn't play through it in game number five, left that game after just 8 minutes of work, and that led to 37 Derek White minutes, you know, and that game was a bit of a blowout there, obviously, so it's one of those things, you know, you threw in the same game parlay with a lot of Derek White and Marcus Smart in it, right? You would think those are right there, top two benefactors of no Malcolm Brogdon, because Brogdon was eating into minutes big time in that backcourt there. I'm expecting Gabe Vincent back, Malcolm Brogdon out. We'll see if that's the case, but definitely big things to watch for.
Yes, it is. And also, Saturday night action. Who's going to be the big dog in the building? Obviously, we know the two lead dogs on both teams, Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler.
That's a great question. No, it's just the reason I immediately, you know, kind of pop up when you say that is these Jimmy Butler props, like you're making a killing if you're betting under this guy's number right now. I mean, you're getting just not even a cent of value, I feel like, on the numbers that they hang on Jimmy B. I mean, it's just a strong 28.5 right now on FanDuel for his game 6 points prop. It's just there's no lightness in that number.
Yeah, there isn't anymore. And it wasn't as if it's like, hey, Jimmy goes for 30 every night in the regular season. He doesn't. Like, this is really amped up into playoff Jimmy Butler. And I think if you are looking at Jimmy Butler, game five, you expected much, much more. But I feel like this is one of those games where Jimmy puts every single thing on his back in game six in Miami. Because, yes, you can still win a game seven. I get it. Another chance to win. But we all know what typically happens. The momentum will have completely shifted. The Boston home court advantage. Forget about they haven't won at home. I'm just talking about the hypeness in the building of a chance to pull off history and also say, we just beat you three straight games. Now we got you finally in our crosshairs on the home court. We're going to take care of business. But I expect Jimmy Butler 20. I'm not even know if I'm looking at 28.5 so much as Kevin, like a points, rebounds, and assists where I'm playing 45 minutes. And the only way I'm not is if we blow this team out of the water and I can sit the final 8 minutes.
You know what did catch my eye with Jimmy, kind of to the point that you're saying, is he played the entire third quarter and they started him in the fourth, basically in game five, to say, look, if we give Jimmy his usual rest, we have no chance to win this game. So let's go for it. And that means that if the game is in the balance, game six, and Miami, again, as much as I think they are capable of winning a game seven in Boston, they know that they are better off finishing this, right? A la the 76ers and how that all played out for them. So you're going to get best foot forward, no doubt about it, when it comes to this team. And it'll be very interesting to see then how that factors in it. And maybe you're right. Like, that's why those props are so strong right now on Jimmy Butler, because the minutes could be flirting with 44 plus.
Yes. I just don't feel like it's one of those, again, when superstar players typically, you know, maybe not a Joel Embiid at this point, where it's like, hey, the game's on the line. I'm going to make sure if I go 9 of 33, it's going to be on me, and I'll live with that in the offseason. Not as I like to say, oh, the ball just didn't find me in that game, and, you know, we lost, and there's nothing I can really do about it at this point. But sometimes when you look just at those two big dogs, right, you say to yourself, okay, let's call it 30, because Tatum's at 30.5, Butler's at 29.5. Let's just say both of those guys are around 30. Who's that B guy? We've seen it before, and it's funny, like Malcolm Brogdon, if I remember, was it the playoff series against the Milwaukee Bucks where he was just going, like, I mean, 5 of 6 from three-point range, career highs? But no, it wasn't Brogdon. Who was it? Who was the backup on the Boston? Was it Williams? There was one game, I believe, like a game seven where he was unconscious. No. Not against
Grant,
Philly.
Last year.
Grant Williams.
Grant
yes.
Williams against the Bucks. He went, yeah,
correct.
He had 8 threes. It was like Steph Curry guard. Did he make 9 threes in that? I'm going to look it up. But yes,
something
Grant Williams is what you're thinking of.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like a game six where you say to yourself, or let's just say it goes to game seven. That was the Derek White game. That was the Max Strus game. That was the Caleb Martin game. It's like, hey, the guy makes 2 threes a game. He's got 5 at the half. And he's like, wow, didn't see this coming. Who's that guy?
Yeah,
secondary.
Ready for this? Grant Williams against Milwaukee at home shot 7 of 18 from 3.
Yes.
Now, he started to miss at the end there, but I remember because – and the reason why that's like an easy one to remember is it was like, hold on a minute. Grant Williams just took 18 threes. How come Steph Curry doesn't shoot 50 threes a game? Like that was like my biggest takeaway I felt like from the entire thing is that like Steph doesn't shoot enough threes because how outrageous it was to watch this guy Grant Williams go out there and put up just some of the most ridiculous volume that we've seen.
Now, also, to score 40 or more points in this game at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Tatum plus 650, Jimmy Butler at 8-1 at that point. I just have a feeling, you didn't get a lot out of the superstar players in the last game because it just felt like the air was out of the building, like right away, like, oh, this is a Celtics night. Nobody really needs to press it down. But like game seven with the Celtics and the Sixers, you saw Tatum just press the lever, like, hey, I got off to a quick start, need to be at the half, I'm rolling, I'm just going to let this thing fly. I think there's a legitimate point that somebody does drop 40 points here in game number six. And I got to feel like Jimmy Butler really isn't the guy that's like, hey, you know, I can. But I just feel like in a game six, he could just go nuclear and be like, I'm going to shoot 28 times in this game. I got you.
Yeah, he absolutely has that ability when he has the hot hand going. And it's funny because we joked about this prop the other day. But with him heading back home and looking like he maybe wants to take a couple more and the price on it, like he's plus 310 to make 2 threes. I'm interested in that number. I really am. Plus three, that is a massive, massive pay. He hits one in the first quarter. You could hedge if you really want to. You could hedge and lock profit in if he hit a three in the first quarter, which is possible.
That is the good part, though. They always hang that like mid-game because you are looking at that, and you'd be stupid not to see what that price actually would be to lock it in if it does make some sense. But it's going to be massive. It is a holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and you got big hockey games and also NBA games, a Western Conference Final and an Eastern Conference Final. We got a long way to go. One quick segment before we hit hour number two. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment before we hit hour number two here on a Friday edition of Moneyline with Donnie and Kevin. Take your phone calls, 844-843-6879 in hour number two. Good baseball card tonight and some interesting shots across the board. We broke it down today. Texas Rangers, Baltimore Orioles. I think it's a pretty good shot for the Rangers. Now get this, Kevin. The breakdowns here that I gave this morning based on 30 days here with Rodriguez. And sometimes the numbers don't officially come out on some things I really like to look at to do like some backtracking on. And the reason I bring that up is Grayson Rodriguez's like weighted on base percentage of lefties and righties are off the charts. And it looks like something you should bang away on. The Texas Rangers, one of the best offenses, Kevin, in Major League Baseball. But get this, the team total, like 3.5 with juice. Mm-hmm. They're a road team getting 27 at bats. Going against the Orioles. Now, I didn't play it, but I am going to probably, a little bit later, tee up some RBIs in that game. But it made it interesting because I wanted to say, why would that actually be? Rodriguez actually has a very good xFIP minus. That's around a 90, even though his ERA is high. But get this. His ERA, and I dated it back, what? Because I don't want to go back too far, just to give you not like a recency bias here. About, let's say, 5 weeks. He's got a 6 ERA, but a 3.94 xFIP. So you're almost juggling like, okay, he's getting a little bit unlucky at this point, but the game is a game a little bit later. You want to tee off, and I don't even care what the lineup is, Kevin. I went ahead and said, you know what, I don't care. We're going against Fat Boy for the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. Just tee that up. You know what I mean? That's five runs right there plus. Yeah, that's five runs plus.
That guy's name Like, you had said it already, but I mean, I was like, whoa. Like, if I almost wish you hadn't, because I don't know what I would have said staring at that name on my. I was like, this looks. Come on, man.
I've never heard his name said, Kevin, but you would assume the B is silent. You use the F, double A D T, Fat Boy. It's got to be what it is.
There he goes.
I mean, come on. Could be used for you, could be used for that guy. Who knows? That's how you get in hour number two of Feisty Friday. Radio on the Grid, don't miss out. We will be right back after this short commercial break.